Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the World of Ink Network, founded in 2011 by Virginia Grenier and Marcia Cook. Their vision was to start a radio show that helped writers reach their dreams. The World of Ink has a wonderful group of hosts who are dedicated to delivering shows to entertain and inspire listeners. The World of Ink Network shares resources that introduce tips, products, and services to help strengthen, support, and challenge those who love writing and the written word. Their hope is to bring not only authors, illustrators, and publishers together, but screenwriters, directors, and producers. New to the network will be a variety of special shows, bringing not only entertaining shows, but informative discussions on timely subjects. To learn more about us, go to www.worldofinknetwork.com or visit us on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Hi, everybody. It's Marcia Cook, and it's A Good Story is a Good Story on World of Ink Network, and it's Tuesday. It's at 2 o'clock in, actually, Mountain Time, and it's 3 Central and 4 Eastern. So, I usually have done my shows at night, but last week I also did a day show, and I mentioned the show was at night, so really it's daytime when we're on right now. It's a live show, right, and anything can happen. The phone number, if you want to call in, and if you can't here, sometimes I have this problem when I'm logging into other people's shows. You sometimes can't get on. I don't know why it is. It takes a long time to load the show, so that may be why. But the phone number to call in if you have a question or just want to, you know, listen in is what I do a lot, 714-242-5259, and then you can hear the show, and I won't put you on the air unless you want to if you have a question. Okay, and let's see, I'll give a few messages. Okay, I'm on Deadly Reads Thursday night at 9 o'clock Central, and it's a really good show. You know, it started at 10 o'clock at night when I first heard it, but now it's at 9 o'clock because, you know, people need to go to sleep. Of course, not the people that I know because I'm talking to everybody through, you know, texting and email. We're talking at 1 in the morning, but their show is at 9 Central. So, and it's a good show, Deadly Reads. Okay, and then let's see, well, we have a couple, and I'm also going to be on Bennett Pomeranz's show with Rachel and Bennett's show in July. So I haven't been on shows in a while. I was on Delaney's show, but it doesn't seem to be enough hours in the day for me and probably everybody listening and naturally for the two people that are the guests on the show. Okay, next week we have a children's show, which we haven't had in a long time. Virginia won't be on that one, but we talk about the, you know, that's how the actually World of Ink, you know, we had children's stories, which Virginia used to host, but we're going to have a children's, because, you know, there's a lot of problem for children's authors out there, and it just seems to be growing. But we're going to have Joanna Dosteron, Mikey Brooks, Judy Schneider, and Richard Cervioni. And they were all a little different in what they do, and it's going to be a really good show. Mikey Brooks actually is an author, and he's done a lot of my illustrations. He's very good. And Joanne has a great book, and Judy Schneider's been on, and Richard has The Grimps, and you'll find out all about them at 2 o'clock Mountain Time, 3 o'clock Central, and 4 Eastern. And this is how my life goes. I'm always saying Eastern Standard Pacific. I'm not sure, but I'm Central. Okay, we have two really good guests on here today, and they're both completely different. They know each other, and I've met them on the show with Naughty Nights when we had Naughty Nights it's probably a month already that they were on, and April Luna's on, and we have Angela. She called in, Angela Rackard Campbell, and so she is addicted to reviews. And so I'm going to let her come on first and talk a little, and then we'll bring April on. She's not an author, which is, you know, an unusual thing for us to have. Like, a lot of times we have authors, but it's so much better because she's a reviewer, and she has a new blog, and she's doing a lot of really good things. She's editing, so I'll let her tell you. Hi. Hi, Angela.
Hi.
How are you? All right, tell everybody a little bit about you, and then we'll go through the show and naturally other things. But that's how we met. So tell everybody about what you're doing these days.
Well, I have been editing for about 3 weeks now, as far as it being open on my blog. I've been reviewing for about 3 years. It actually started because, well, I have a huge book habit.
It's a good thing. As writers, we like to hear people like that. You know, that not everybody's writing books. Some people are actually reading them.
Yes.
Which is you.
I usually average about 3 books a day.
I can't even imagine that. It's a lot. You know, it is. You know,
it's so worth it.
Yeah.
I'm probably at my computer about 10 hours a day.
Yeah, see, I know. Not a good. But, you know, but that's how you came on the show, because you were also, you know, you knew that the Naughty Nights were on. And, see, that's one of the good things, which I think if people listen to other people's shows and they get to meet each other, this is how really relationships are formed, that, you know, everybody will know about you after this now, you know, and then they, you know, because reviewing is really important. There's one thing, I know you wanted to say something about Joe Beverly, so do you want to say that I didn't forget?
She was very important to me reading, because I actually started on her Regency romances, and, you know, she was the one that was always in the supermarket that I saw, and, you know, she passed away yesterday, and it's a huge loss to the romance community.
Yeah, I know. When you mentioned that, I didn't forget. And, you know, I mean, it's so nice that you are even thinking that and, you know, and addressing it the way you did, you know, because, you know, we all have to start somewhere reading books, you know, and it's really nice to remember her that way. And I really didn't know her, you know, but Regency, you know, it's a huge market, you know, and I've had several authors that are, you know, Lee Michaels, and, you know, it's a whole different entity altogether. It's a big group of people that do.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, her dukes and lords were who I was going to model my perfect husband after. Yeah, none of them came close, but, you know.
Well, it's always good for us. Well, I actually see when you're writing, you get the opportunity to create all these men that don't exist, you know. But that's the thing about men. You know, you're writing them, and women, too, you know, because there's a lot of men that write, you know, Regencies. You know, there are.
I think a lot of them do it under woman pen names so that somebody will read it.
Yeah, I mean, we have a problem with names here because I just, you know, we'll talk about that later, is trying to get pen names. And April's here, and April writes under a couple, you know, another name too. So, hi, April. How are you?
I am very well.
So you write under other names. So tell everybody a little bit about, you know, who you are in real life, who you are in this life.
Okay. Actually, my real name is Michelle De La Garza, and I actually write my young adult, new adult under my Michelle L. De La Garza name, and then I write my adult, more steamy content under April A. Luna.
Which is, it's hard to do that, but, you know, I mean, it is. It's very hard to promote that way. You know, I've tried it. I do it, you know, and it is hard because, you know, they're different genres. And my advice to people would be not to do what I did. I mean, it is hard when you have a lot of genres. It's much better when you stick in the same one because you can just, you know, get out there and really do social media. Otherwise, it's quite difficult because there's a lot you have to do.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Full-heartedly.
And you two know each other.
We actually met on your show.
Yeah.
Is that where you met on the show?
We met whenever.
Oh, really? Oh, that's
interesting. We met whenever, because I was one of the first reviewers for Beyond the Veil for Naughty Nights.
Which was, you know, it's a big success, that one. You know, Gina is very successful in what she does. And she's been on the show a lot with a lot of her authors, but we didn't get to really talk to April that much because there were so many on the show. on that day. But we opened up, you know, for calls, and that's when you called in.
Yeah, and, you know, and it opened up the avenue for us to continue talking after. You know, April's helped a lot with me trying to get this off the ground.
Well, it's hard. You know, I mean, one of the things is, you know, which April, you know, you know this because you're in different genres also. And you have you have a lot of books. I'm not going to ask you how many, but, if you go on, I actually have your link, and I also have Angela's link there on the page for World of Ink. When you click into the page so you can find out more about them, and they'll give their, you know, websites and everything, or in their blogs when, you know, the show's over. But, maybe we could do that now, then we'll do it again later. Okay, Angela, where can they reach you in case they don't listen to the whole show?
Well, you can either find me at Addicted to Reviews, which is a Facebook fan page, or you can find me at addictedtoreviews.wordpress.com.
Okay, and April, just so they can know this right off the bat.
Sure. You can actually find me on Facebook under both names, under April A. Luna, or as Michelle L. Della Garza. And, of course, my internet kind of crashes. And you can also find me under Weebly.com under April A. Luna or as Michelle L. Della Garza. And, of course, you can always go to Amazon.com and search by my name, either
yeah, and
April
then you
A.
Get
Luna
the page.
Or Michelle L. Della
right.
Garza.
It's
correct.
All your page you're together. Did you decide to put it all together? Because sometimes you have to separate it. Amazon, it is hard to do that a lot of times with Amazon. But I think now there's new things you can do. I think there's tabs. I think where you can also, because that's been a problem for a lot of people, because if you have a couple names and then you go on Amazon and you're trying to just, you know, keep yourself more private, they end up putting the thing, all your books together, which happened to me. Which was not great.
Actually, I never had that issue with Amazon. They actually keep both names separate. And even Goodreads kept them separate until I brought them in together. The person that kind of outed me under both names was my publisher. Finally decided that I needed to use Della Garza for my sweet young adult and new adult. They basically cross-referenced my name on their web page. So, under Soulmate Publishing.
That's the thing. That's what happens a lot, you know. But years ago when I did this, I think they pick it up sometimes by the email address or things like that, you know, in the Gmail, whatever, you know. And when you have, we'll talk about one thing that April does. Not April, actually, that Angela does. Angela, you review all types. So do you want to talk about that a little? Because getting erotic books and things like that reviewed has never been that easy for a lot of authors.
Actually, from what I've seen, it tends to be the other way around, though. I've seen a lot of people who, you know, they don't do paranormals, or, you know, a lot of the readers that I've run into tend to be women. So, of course, they're going to be, for the most part, more likely to review a romance, regardless of what subgenre it is.
Yeah.
I've found that, for me, I tend to not be the norm, just because I also cover the horror, the thrillers, the military, literally everything. But that, from what I've seen, usually is where it's harder to get the readers.
Yeah, but I've noticed, though, that they say, like, no, we don't review erotica. I mean, some of the sites that I have seen. I mean, April, do you have thoughts on that as far as, have you seen that where they say no erotica or, you know, no this, you know. Horror, I think the horror is a tough one. For people, I have shows on horror, and I'm not going to do that anymore. We're going to talk about it as deep, dark thriller, because we talked about it the other day. Too many, you know, the genres that go on Amazon, it makes people uncomfortable sometimes, and they really could read books that they may be very happy reading if they knew that they were there. So how do you feel about that, April?
And that is true.
Yeah.
I have found that it's a little harder to find people to review some erotica content. It depends on what the content actually holds. Some people are welcome to, they welcome all types of erotica, but then there are a few who will not read anything erotica that contains any element of BDSM. So again, it depends, even within the genre itself, it depends on the subcategories and the content that's actually listed, as well as the heat level.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And they do say that. And, you know, unfortunately, several of these smaller publishers, they're gone now. I mean, and that's changing the market. I mean, there's about five that I know of that did a lot of romance, all kinds of romance, and now they're not here anymore. So, things are changing, like, probably as we speak, you know, and that's really difficult for publishers now to, you know, you want to take authors on, but I've seen publishers that did do erotic, then all of a sudden they just go, forget it, no more erotic. They just shut it off like that, and that's, I mean, I've had some of them on my show, and then they went into more of a, you know, a different phase, but they don't even take erotic anymore. And they were big in the field. So it's interesting. I mean, because erotica, you know, we talk about this all the time on the show, is because, you know, it's a word that people think is a little different than actually sometimes it is, because there are sex scenes. And we were talking about that, and April and I were Angela, I don't know why I'm saying that. Angela, we talked about that last night. That we do you want to say what your opinion is of that? Because I thought that was a good opinion of what you said in that field about erotica and reviewing.
Well, I mean, part of it is, you know, so many, for one thing, so many people have picked up 50 Shades of Grey, and all of a sudden now they can write erotica because they had a fantasy one day. You know, but on the, you know, on the flip side of it, for the reviewers, you know, sex, we're taught from the time we're little, is a dirty word. You know, anything to do with sex, you don't see it, you don't talk about it, you don't hear about it. You know, most of the people who are reading these erotic books, for the most part, is your middle-aged housewife that, you know, her husband's on his downward stroke, and she has probably got that 50 Shades of Grey packed right in the middle of that Bible.
Yeah. Delaney Oaks, she also has a show on Red River. She's saying too many people equate erotica with porn. They don't get the difference.
Well,
and
it's,
she's in
technically
the chat room,
it is porn. It just happens to be word porn. But everybody.
I don't
reads
even know
it.
What porn. You know, I don't even know what porn is anymore. You know, I'll tell you why. You know, I've been watching this show, Girlfriend Experience. I don't know if anybody saw this. I started watching it, and I'm going like, I really like this show. It's something interesting. It is interesting. And then it turns out it's Elvis Presley's granddaughter is the main character, and she works at a law firm, and she also is an escort, for escort service. But you know, and it's on TV. Okay, and it's not, you know, I don't know anymore what, I mean, because this is really so erotic, this is, you know, much more than anything I've seen, but it's out there now. So, I mean, and I'm sure, I think they picked it up for another season. There were 12, you know, of the half hour. So, I mean, how is this different then? Do you know what I mean? Because nowadays a lot of
people are getting away from books because they have, you know, they have their computer, they have their video games, they have their tablets to play their Candy Crush. You know, unfortunately, books aren't as big as they used to be in a lot of areas. But the people that are reading the books still, you know, are the people who are the generation just past the baby boomers. And that is a time when sex was still something you didn't talk about.
Yeah. But, that, you know, with 50 Shades, we should have learned that, you know, this it can be fine, you know. I mean, I saw the movie, and I've seen it several times. And, I guess you just get used to it. If you watch any of the soap operas, they're pretty risque these days.
But look at the scandal when it first came out.
Yeah. April, how do you feel about this? Do you, you know, I mean, you're in both genres. Do you feel accepted or not accepted, or how do you feel about that?
I actually have very strong views. Excuse me, I've had a cold. I actually have very strong views when it comes to differentiating, showing the difference between porn that you may watch on television and
yes.
an erotica or erotic romance. To me, the difference from what I can gather and from research and reading is that oftentimes a lot of porn on television can be very short. It is all about the sexual act itself, as there are a lot of the erotica content that is out on you know, the publishing side actually has a story. And for me as a female, if I'm going to read a book, because I grew up in that family where sex was a three-letter dirty word, you never discussed it. You know, I grew up in that environment, and to watch porn had such a taboo label addressed to it, yet, you know, I never realized that things like you know, some of the books that my mother read when I was young actually fell into the erotica category. So,
which is right. That is really right.
Accepted.
That was right. Yeah.
So
we were talking about that the other day.
Erotica is porn.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that people aren't reading it, but at the same time, they don't want to review it because they don't want their friends to know that they read it.
Yeah, well, they want to have it over there in secret. Yeah, that might be the case. Yeah,
I have a lot of friends who are closet readers that I never knew read 50 Shades or one of my books, Sweeter Than Candy. A couple of my friends came up and they'd kill me if I outed them with their names, so I will not do that.
No, don't.
But
do that.
And it was so funny because they came to me and said, "Oh my God, I read this book," you know. And I liked this part and this part. And I'm like, okay, let's not go into detail. But I found out that they're closet readers, and they're okay to tell me that they read it, but they do not want the public to know that they read it.
Exactly. You know, they don't want to make a blog post or a Facebook post saying, hey, I read this book and I thought it was amazing.
Right, that's true. Delaney's in the chat room. She's saying it's a good point because that's true. She's very liberal, and she, you know, because she does a lot of shows with every kind of author also. And that's the problem is that, you know, we're all saying this, but you're right. I mean, you know, like we mentioned it last week, Harold Robbins. My grandmother used to read, like, Harold Robbins and a lot of this. And I see some of these movies now on, there was actually The Carpetbaggers. That was Sidney, and then that's by Harold Robbins, but then there was Sidney Sheldon, and they were having a lot of the older movies on. But in those years, those books were really intense sex scenes, you know. I mean,
you had the pirate books. Oh, yeah, the pirate or the aristocrat who came and stole the woman away. And, you know, I mean, they still did the dirty. They just made it with prettier words.
The opera, for instance, when they're, it's an opera, you know, it's a musical. And when they're singing music of the night, it's actually implying that he has taken her to the bed and, you know, taken her virginity. It implied it, and back then, that was really taboo to be out on the screen, you know, when the book first came out. But yet today in our society, we have things like Game of Thrones, which I am a huge fan of and enjoy watching, things like The Tudors, and multiple other shows that are very similar to those. And they do. They have a story rolled into it as well as the sex. And it does show that sex is a part of the human condition. And rather than sweeping it under, you know, the carpet, it is a conversation for people to have these days.
Right. And you have a big, like, let's say you have a best-selling thriller, okay? They have sex. I mean, so I don't get it. I mean, this is why, you know, that's why we keep talking about the subject, because it's so interesting, you know, because, you know how much money 50 Shades made. I mean, my God, you know, and a lot of people, if they're authors, I mean, I can't imagine saying like, oh, I wouldn't like to make that kind of money, because everybody would. Hardly anybody does, but it would be nice if you could make that kind of money that she made, you know, because she made a lot of money. So somebody had to read these books. I mean, there's just that's exactly the truth. And so, like, when we talk about this, like, you know, I know with my children's books, somebody saw my website and, cause my site, I mean, I have, I need an overall change on everything I do because of, you know, when you write children's books, they, I mean, there are people that wouldn't have me at a school because they saw that I did a Virginia Templeton series, and I'm going, and I so for me, I've been doing this for like 20 years, back and forth, my scripts, you know, it was always hard for me to write sex scenes in my scripts, and I finally got the hang of it, and then, you know, you don't have to, in a script of a screenplay, you don't have to be that detailed. In fact, you just go like, wow. Okay, they're in bed, you know, there you are. But the fact is, it was hard for me to even do, you know, try to get it to that level. And then with the children's books, that has nothing to do with my life. It's what I write. You know, all my characters, you know, are not me.
I can identify with that, and I can tell you my experience as a writer. I had 3 books contracted through one of my publishers all about the same time frame. So they all went into edits about the same time with the same editor. And two of the three came back to me telling me, we really want you to add some steam to this. We want you to open the door wide open, and
yeah,
we want you to describe these scenes. I was mortified, and I talked to my husband and my children. My children are young adults. I was mortified, thinking, oh, my God, what's my family going to think if I write this? And lo and behold, they were fine with it, and they weren't apprehensive about it. And then I turned to my poor mother, and I tell her, oh, my God, you've got to read this. I want you to know about this before it is released, which is Child of the Night, because it has a lot of very steamy parts. And she read it, and she said, oh, my gosh, this reminds me of author, you know, XYZ and, you know, the scenes. And I'm like,
right, oh, my God. I know. You know, because I think that people think that, you know, as a writer, Angela, this would be interesting because for us that are writers, you know, we're writers, you know, when we get to a certain level, it's not that easy for us to do that. I mean, I had the same thing where people say, all right, even in this newer thing that I'm doing, they go like, okay, you need to put more sex into it. And which is, you know, you think like that's what you were saying before about being on TV. Yeah, the sex, it's very quick, okay, and they're fast. But they're not fast in a lot of books, and that takes time, and so you have to figure this out. I had people on my show. It was so funny. They're not, you know, doing erotic anymore, but they were talking one day about how they, when they were taking authors, they were trying to figure out how the people had sex the way they were explaining it, because they were in all the positions that they were in. Is, could people really get to those positions by the way they were describing it? You know, and which is an interesting concept. Sometimes when they're explaining so much, you're thinking, well, how do they do this? I mean, because it's like, you know, they're wrapped around in a certain way, and, you know, and so, and but they want you to make steamier, so I think that's what they mean, you know, go into different positions or whatever, you know. I mean, and that's
for
why
me, it's
on
more
TV,
about the words.
Is it the words? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's all about the words for me. I want to know the dirty talk that they're saying to each other. You know,
you do.
I don't really care. You know, for me, unless it's a BDSM scene, I don't really care if they're missionary or doggy style. I just want to know the dirty talk that he's saying to her.
So that's what you want, is that you want, during their sex, you want them to have to talk about sex while they're doing it.
Yeah, just not to the point that it's ignorant.
Well,
you know,
I think it's interesting to hear that.
Whenever
would help
I'm reading that sex scene, you know, I want to hear how he's dominating her with his words, or how he's caressing her with his words. I don't care that he stuck his hand up her dress for 5 minutes before he decided to find out if she's wet or not.
You don't care about that. You want to see what he's saying to her. That's interesting. Interesting.
To me, that's going to be what builds that chemistry for me, since it's not something that I'm actually watching. You know, that's going to be what tells me what kind of magnetism they have, or what's going to explain why she can't stay away from him, or why he's so obsessed with her.
Huh. April, how do you think about that? That's an interesting concept. I mean, after all these shows, nobody has said that, because we have basically authors. But that's interesting, because that what he's saying to her. How do you feel about that, April? It's a good. I think it's a good comment.
I actually agree to that to a point because I like to know what their conversation is, what the connection is, how they're getting along, but the other caveat to that is, along with the words and the banter going back and forth, I still like to know what's happening. What is the male or female character feeling at the time, along with the words? And from an author's standpoint, I really feel that word choice is important, whether it is, you know, an action scene and, you know, you're painting the sky in, you know, crimson colors because there's fixing to be a bloodbath, or if it is a love scene where the moment is tender, or it can just be all-out sex, you know. So it depends on the word choice and the connection. And in order for there to be a connection, the characters have to be able to communicate.
See, I like the part that you said, though, but I like the part that you said, Angela, about like what they're saying, because I think that that's an interesting concept to me because, you know, I write a lot of dialogue, but sometimes when they're in their sex scenes, we're going like, he caressed her, he did this, she did that, you know, they were in the shower together, whatever
they
do.
Yes, I want to know what they're doing, but I don't want a play-by-play. Because part of the reason that I read, instead of going to watch porn, is because I'm not going to deny that I watch it, but, you know, for me, I would rather read about it than watch it, because then it's my imagination that's fueling that scene to a point.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
I think that's a good – I actually think that's a really good comment, because I've not heard anybody really say that, because, you know, you read a lot of things – you know, read a lot of scenes, but they have – scenes, you know, like you're seeing it, but you're not hearing it, you know, and maybe that will help me.
I mean,
that will probably help me because dialogue to me is much easier than description. So for me to have somebody talking, but I always, when I read a lot of the books, I don't hear them talking as much. So I kind of like that is what they're thinking.
I like to read the sexual buildup. I like to read about the tension, you know, especially if it's a new budding relationship. I want to know about that first stirring. I want to know what it was that attracted, you know, my female character to the male or vice versa. I want to know what it is that made that connection. So, I agree with that.
Yeah.
See, Marcia, one of the most perfect books that I've read, and not just because she's here, but April's Sweeter Than Candy was
I was going to take that picture and put it out. Okay. Sweet. I saw that
book
picture.
Was
okay.
Just right in my opinion of how it should be.
Okay. Right.
Because even though this starts out, for instance, as April's child, you know, she's the one that works for hours and hours to make this possible, you know, it's still reading it.
Yeah. I think that I'll read it because, you know, I saw the cover. It's a very good cover. And I think that, I do think we've talked about a lot of things, but not really this sometimes because, you know, I think it is hard. And I think that, you know, a lot of authors, they don't want to admit it, but I think it's a very tough genre to write. You know, people go, oh, yeah, just sex. But it's not just sex because you have to make it where people are really wanting to, you know, they want to see exactly what's happening, you know, but the fact of the conversation and what you guys are, the two of you are saying, I think that's a good thing to do because I think that people, you know, a lot of people have trouble doing the sex scenes, you know, they may not admit it, but I think it's, especially when you first start out doing this, because I listened to a whole erotic webinar and, you know, short stories, their advice is do like a lot of short stories and just, you know, you got to put the words in because the words matter. And that's what happened to me with my Virginia. I took the words out and then I put them back in, then I took them out. And then I, you know, because I was uncomfortable and not that I'm not a prude or anything, you know, I just don't, I was questioning myself, you know, because sometimes you're wondering what people are thinking And you're right. You can't listen to what other people say. You're just right. And I say this a lot. These are my characters. It has nothing to do with me. And I really mean that as far as anything
it's
I write. You know,
but you have to be fearless.
Yeah, you do. So I need to get that part
Well,
of
and
me.
And with the short stories, you know, for me as a reader, the short stories, I can see where that would be a lot harder, you know, mm-hmm. because for me, I prefer an erotic full-length novel because, like April said, that buildup is so important, and it's so hard to do that when you're trying to stick with a short amount of
words.
You're
right. Yeah. But there's a market, a huge market for short stories. I never really liked short stories, and now I've done some, and I think it is hard, you know. And I kind of like it because you can hit a goal then. This is certainly for people that are just starting, like maybe doing erotic. You know, it's hard to attain 300 pages when you're just starting a genre to do.
Oh, definitely.
You know.
Well, and part of it depends on what you're going for.
Right.
You know, if you're actually trying to tell the story instead of just trying to, you know, scene something that's, you know, pretty much already put together, you know, that does make a huge difference. You know, but I do want to see that build up as to, you know, how they came to know each other and develop this relationship that they have together. You know, I don't want to just be thrown into their bedroom.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I want to be romance. I want to feel... You know, that character feels wanted, that she's feeling sexy, that, you know, she's feeling desirable. And I do have to tell you, during edits with Sweeter Than Candy, my editor actually sent me back some notes, and she told me, I want you to rewrite this sexy true story, but before you do that, you need to make a list of 50 fruits and vegetables in your refrigerator and in your kitchen. So I did that. And then I rewrote the sex scene, sent it to her, and she said, okay, now I want you to take the list of fruit and vegetables, and for every single body part, I want you to input the vegetables and fruits in order, and then I want you to read it out loud. You know, and the funny thing about
that's an interesting thing. That's good. All right. I can get that.
I actually read it, and even with the fruits and vegetables used for the body parts, the scene still had the same feel to it. So it doesn't really matter. You need to feel comfortable with the words that you're using. And I've actually seen my progression from book to book, because there were certain words that in the very beginning I was like, oh, no, that's a taboo word. But now I feel comfortable. But, you know, it goes back to what you were saying. You do have to be comfortable with it. But at the same token, it's doing it repeatedly.
Yeah, I agree.
And finally coming to terms with it that the character is not you. And, you know, I don't know how many times I've had a reader or a family member. Family members have been really big on it. Oh, is that what you do in your private life? I'm like,
I do not
write about my private life. Everything
I
write about
is
a character.
I know. See, that's
it's kind of like the meme
you
see on Facebook.
It takes you a long time to get that in your head that it's not you, it's the characters. And then somebody will say, like, oh, is that what you do? Really?
No, I said it's kind of like the meme that you see on Facebook. Because I post it doesn't mean I'm going through it.
Well, I don't know how many posts. Private messages I've received when people have read Child of the Night, and I know exactly what part they just read, because I'll get just a single PM that says, so do you like chocolate or strawberry? And I'm like, oh my God, I am not getting into this conversation. Because I'm using one of my scenes as the stuff. So I'm like, no, I'm not going there.
Right, you know, and that's true, though. I mean, because, you know, like, I'm big, I like roses and chocolate and all of that stuff, and it fits in these things, you know. I mean, because I think when I was listening to the webinar, they're saying, like, you know, anything that, you know, you think, you know, there are people out there that like what you're thinking, you know. I mean, you know, and don't go by other people. Like, when she first started that webinar, she goes, if you can't stand me saying some of these words that she used, she says, then get off the phone, because that's what was a webinar. She goes, just get off, because you are never going to be able to even listen or do this. And I was sitting in a restaurant with my phone on very, because I was doing, because sometimes when I want to, like, think, I go to a restaurant and have, like, lunch myself, and I'm, you know, either writing or whatever, but then this was on, so I'm listening to it, and I'm thinking, like, I'm looking around the whole room, and I'm thinking, like, do they actually know what I'm listening to? You know, maybe they think I'm listening to music, but it was so interesting to hear what she said. She said, just get off. If you can't handle these words, goodbye. You know, and
but see,
a lot
and
of people,
that right there is exactly what I'm talking about
yeah.
so many reviewers don't want to admit it.
Yeah. It's,
I mean,
yeah,
we all read what you all put out there. Even, you know, I mean, especially erotica, because, you know, well, for us middle-agers, I don't know about you, but my life isn't what it used to be. But,
you're
so,
very young.
Okay. You know,
Delaney just wrote, she goes, the mother of one of my son's friends read one of my books and was sure that all their love scenes were from experience. I still haven't convinced her it's imagination. See? Go, girl.
Exactly.
Delaney.
You know, and that's the thing, Marcia. Even though, yes, I am younger, my husband's 20 years older than me. So, you know,
well,
in,
that's good
in
because
some
that's
ways,
a good thing. That's a good thing. That's what men like. You know, that's the truth. They like that. It's so you're new and fresh.
Okay. There's a 13-year difference between my husband and I, so.
Well, so you girl, that's right. That's the way to go. That's good. But, you know, yeah, because I write, you know, a lot of times when I do write the sex scenes, the men are a little older than, you know, whoever the woman is, yeah. Because, you know, it is different with experience, you know, but I think young people, you know, like you were saying, what age group reads this, the housewife, you know, middle-aged housewife maybe, the young ones, we don't really know what they, you know, they read, well, you know, we know what they read, but they probably read other things we don't know. And there's so much out there for them. And that's another thing. You know, they're so much more influenced than we were because there's so much out there now to see.
I
find that some of the younger generation, maybe some of the millennials, I find that in speaking with some of them that they're actually preferring some of the novella link. Because they can pick it up, read it on their phone during lunch,
yeah, I know.
And then go right back to work. And it is quick, simple. They're done with it, and then
that's
the
what
next,
they say. That's
know,
what
the
that's actually what the webinar said. Yeah, that's what she said. They like short stories. Just get it done. They have lunch. They read it. Goodbye.
Right, and they don't care if it is a serial or a series, as long as there is a beginning, middle, and an end to that novella that they've read during lunch.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's this is true. This is what they said, and, you know, but I think that, you know, having a reviewer, you know, Angela, you've read so many books, and you're, you know, very liberal about it, which is a good thing. I mean, I think it's a good thing, you know, because I see so many people that are on my shows, a lot of times they go, I won't do this, and I won't do that, and I won't do this. And we're like, oh, great, you know, you won't do this. I mean, you know, because sometimes people have to open up a little. And, you know, they're missing stories that just because there's sex in it doesn't mean it's not a good story. I do have a lot of shows like this talking about this because I remember when I had my first erotic type show. Actually, some of those publishers are no longer around. But when I was with Red River, she said, "Do you want to do, you know, some people that do erotic books?" I went like, "Well, sure. What the hell? I don't know. Fine." You know, I wasn't really. It was 6 years ago, and I went like, "Yeah." So I did it, and it was like such a fun show because everybody was having such a good time, and nobody was, you know, say, "I won't do this. I won't do that." And from then on, it just changed the way I think about a lot of things because everybody was so open and having fun, and they were selling books where everybody else was so worried about every last word, and they couldn't sell any books. Erotic books and sell. They sell. That's the way it is.
They do.
Yeah,
they
you know, but
sell.
I mean.
Angela, what were you saying?
Oh, I was waiting until April was done.
Oh, okay, no. Either one can talk. Either one of you. Okay, ready, set, go. Somebody's right. Okay, go ahead. All right. Angela, go ahead. Finish what you were saying.
you know, but I mean, yeah, I mean, like you and I were talking about last night, Marcia, you know, up until a couple of weeks ago, you know, I would have said that I was firmly in the romance suspense world. And that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
And I came across a pretty new author, and he wrote a book about military espionage that turns people into zombies. You know, that would not have been my first choice of a book that I would go to the bookstore and buy. You know, but it ended up being a fantastic book.
See, you liked it. You liked it.
Absolutely. You know, and I mean, that's why anybody who comes to me for a review, I do not think that I've ever told anybody no, even if it's not something that, you know, I can see myself liking.
See, but that, you know what, though, that's, you know, I find that really good, and because you're open, and Delaney's she's still in the chat room, and she's one of the other people that also, on her show, Red River, we did a show together, that she's very liberal and has so many different kinds of authors and reviewers, and she's open. We learn that way, you know, and I think that's so much more fun to be open, because you don't, like, that's, you know, with the thriller and the horror. I mean, I've had a lot of different shows, so now I just am having, I'm just saying, oh, they're authors, and we'll talk about this, because, you know, people should be learning about what other people do. It's very interesting. You can always learn new things. You know, you can't stay in the same mode.
And I mean, and it does, you know, at the same, you know, on the other side of that, you know, like, for instance, coming on your show, or, you know, being able to send April a PM and say, hey, you got a new book coming out. Can I review it for you? You know, I'm able to do those things because this is a job for me. This isn't, you know, this isn't something I do in my spare time. This isn't, oh, I'm going to go take a bath because I want to relax tonight and grab a book. You know, this is what I choose to do, both to promote authors, to feed my habit. And, you know, but because of that, I have made it into a business. So I really can't, you know, for me, I don't think that it's fair for me to put it out there as a business and then say, no, I won't do this, this, and this.
Yeah. Well, I think it's being very fair. Delaney's in the chat room, she says she talks to anybody, right? This is a good thing. We do talk to people because, you know what, I find it so interesting, you know. I mean, to have so many different authors on and different people, and I certainly like, because I actually write notes every time that I have a show, because I think somebody has a good idea, you know. And I like what you said. I'll be going to the grocery store and buying vegetables. That's what I'm going to do. I'll stock my refrigerator. My husband will say, because I have a lot of allergies. So I'm thinking, like, oh, great, I'll just stock my whole refrigerator. Think about all of this. So what is all this different stuff? But I can see, it's, you know what it is? It's getting your senses, you know, and that's, like, really a kind of, like, something people don't think about is looking at food and how you feel, you know. And so I think this is very good advice today. I'm going to be a busy girl.
See, in April, I'm going to have to do that now. The next book that I read, you watch, I'm going to be inserting vegetables for body parts.
Yeah.
Well, make sure that you have a few exotic ones in there, because that can really, really spice it up for you.
I'll make sure that I stick with the cucumbers and zucchinis.
Yeah, right. And it doesn't matter, even if I'm allergic to them, I'll still talk about them. This is a good thing. Maybe my main character can have allergies, and then she's going to, you know, what can I say?
I'm never going to listen to erotica the same way.
I'm sure Delaney will probably want both of you on a show, because I know her already. She'll probably want both of you on a show, and she has a great show. No, it's true, though, because, you know, talking about all these things makes writers better. You know, I mean, because what we're talking about is how a lot of people feel. And you're right, because sometimes when you send a book in, April, and then they'll say, make it steamier. You go, like, what do you mean, steamier? I thought it was steamy. And it's not steamy. But and the dialogue part, I'm good at dialogue. And so that is what I will work on, because I don't have them talking a lot. So my people will now be talking when they're in bed.
Well, see, that's when you add in steamed cauliflower or broccoli and tell them it's steamier.
Yeah, right. The next one I do, which would be, you know, because I think people, you know, regular people that are readers, they just want to have a good story, beginning, middle, and end. They have no idea how hard this is for us, you know, because beside wanting to like what we do, we can't help but think, is someone going to read what we wrote, or are they going to review it horribly? Let's talk about that for a second, because that is number one thing that everybody's worried about, is if you write a book and someone gives you a bad review, how bad should you feel? I don't think you should feel that bad, but okay. We have a reviewer here. Go ahead. Tell us how we should feel.
You know, I don't think there really is any you should feel this way. I mean, that's the same.
No, you shouldn't,
you know,
but people
to me,
though. They're very upset. They are very upset. People have stopped writing I know because they got a bad review.
And I think that's horrible, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, that falls on the reviewers, too, because, you know, because there are so many people that, you know, they read the first part of the book and then, oh, that book sucked.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't stick around to see what happens later.
Right.
You know,
that's
so I think that's, you know,
it's a good thing for people to know that if a reviewer might give you a bad review, they may have really never finished your book.
Or they may have not even picked it up.
Or they may genuinely not care for the style. I mean, I know that there are certain authors that I like
to
read. I'll follow their voice anywhere. But then there are other authors, I can't even get through the first chapter.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that they're horrible writers. It's just not the stylistic writing
what you're looking
that,
for,
that
right.
I would have chosen. Correct.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I've had bad reviews. I mean, and one of the very first reviews that I had that was bad was actually for Sweeter Than Candy, and it was actually published under a different pen name, and when I received rights back to it, I actually published it under April A. Luna because my family told me, you know, there's no need to use a different pen name. Just put it under, you know, Luna. So the reader made a comment that that she really disliked the book. She disliked the verbiage that was used in it and felt that it was dirty and that she tore it up and threw it in her trash can and then lit it on fire.
Oh, my God.
So, well, you know, and at first
she put it on fire. This is like the old days.
I was devastated.
Woo.
I was devastated.
That's a bad one.
For about 30 minutes, I was devastated.
Yeah,
and I told my husband, then he told me, hun, think about this. How did she tear her Kindle in half and throw it in the trash?
Exactly.
And so, you know, I had to stop and think about it. You know what?
That's right.
She was upset. And maybe it was.
Well, my question is, why are you reading an erotica book if you think they're dirty?
Correct. And that's why I'm saying maybe she picked it up. Maybe she liked the description, but it was marked erotica. But
that's one of the problems, right? And, you know, if it's marked erotica, you know, I think that's one of the things, though. A lot of people out there, they don't really know how to select a book sometimes, and that's when this happens. And then, you know, I have a Holocaust story book, and it is a nonfiction book. It's a true story. The woman is still alive. I did it. It's not me. It's her. I wasn't in the Holocaust. There are things in the book that one reviewer felt she wanted the main character to do it another way. Well, like, I'm thinking, this is a real story. I went to this woman's house, and I went every day afternoon for an hour, and I wrote her book, and I listened to her story. That's her story. I can't help it, okay? It's nonfiction. And so the woman, she was reviewing it as if this was something I made up. And I'm thinking, like, you can't change history. It is what it is. If they don't like the way she was or they don't like what she did, I can't change that. I wrote it exactly as she told me because it was important to her, okay? And so when someone reviews that, I mean, Amazon really should take some of those off, because when someone writes that's not even the book, you know? I mean, you can't change history, whether you want to or not, in a book. If someone says it happened to them, it happened. So that's when who knows what she was looking for when she looked at the book, you know, but it certainly wasn't the book I wrote. It's her story, not mine. And so that's
you
can't let it upset you.
You can't
let it upset you.
And I can see where that
can be a problem for a lot of authors, you know, because for one, the reviewers forget that the people that are writing those books for you are real people. They have real feelings.
Yeah.
They put real time and work and, you know, pawning their kids off on other people and pawning dinner off and putting off housework for a week to be able to give you that book.
Right.
You know,
because I think sometimes that people don't realize that. And, you know, if you really don't like a book, it's not that necessary. You have to really write a review then. You know, you can if you feel that bit strongly about somebody's writing, you know, don't write it then. I mean, if you're going to give them a 3-star, that's okay, because there's nothing wrong with it. They just might have not liked some of the things you did. But I think, you know, when you see people that have 200 and 300 reviews, I don't even know who's going to go looking for 200 and 300. Who's going to read 200 reviews? You know, and I think Amazon is having issues now. They're trying to figure out what to do with all of this now. Because
that many reviews, I go and I look at the 1-stars and I look at the 5-stars. And see what those have in common, because that'll tell me more than likely the gist of where the issues are. You know, for me personally, I don't write a bad review. Not to say that I won't point out an issue, but at the same time, for every issue that I point out, I make sure that I point out something that I liked about it.
Yeah.
So some positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
There are so, unfortunately, we live in a society of entitled people, and, you know, and so everybody wants as much as they can get for as little amount as possible. And so just because it wasn't exactly what they envisioned in their head, automatically it's horrible.
Yeah.
Well, I've had readers that have read a review that maybe was not, very nice. And I've actually had them come back to me in a private message and tell me, you know what, I decided to read your book because of one of your reviews, and you know what, I didn't feel that way at all. So, you know, sometimes the bad reviews are not that bad because it might
I think it's better for people not to get upset. Delaney in the chat room wrote that she tries to find the positive aspect of a book. And just because she doesn't like it doesn't mean someone else won't like it. And that's really true. You know,
every author's writing style is different. Every reader's reading style is different.
Oh, definitely. But I have my fallback readers, people that I would read from here to the moon. So, you know, I'm very biased when it comes to those individuals, and if I see a change in their voice, sorry, my monster is whining because he wants attention. If I see a change in their voice, it kind of throws me for a loop, but I'm not going to say that I dislike that author because I saw a little bit of a change in the content that they wrote. I mean, I still value what they have done. I may not like all aspects of it, but they've invited me into their world.
Right, exactly. I think I think really what we've talked about today is something different, you know, very different than we've talked about in the past. So I think this is very good for people to hear this, you know, about the review and about, you know, sex scenes, because I think these are questions, and these, you know, sometimes people don't want to talk about this because they don't want to bring it up. But these are really concerns that writers have, and I think sometimes they give up too fast because they don't realize that there are a lot of us that have a lot of problems when we write. I mean, you just don't sit down and that book doesn't just appear. You know, it's a lot of work, even if it is a short story, or even if it's a story somebody doesn't like, they still put in, like you said, a lot of hard work.
I can tell you from experience, coming into the publishing industry and then being asked to add the sexual content, because I'm a very descriptive reader, so therefore I'm a very descriptive writer. And putting the sex scenes in, I can tell you, you know, over the past couple of years, I have actually found it very freeing to be able to communicate, to be able to feel comfortable enough, to be able to to show that relationship that's building and unfolding before, you know, the reader's eyes. I mean,
agree with you because that's really how it is. as you're learning to do all of this, your writing gets better because it is a different form of writing. You're not used to this, and it is challenging and fun. I mean, you know, when you write erotica, I think it's a really fun market. I mean, I really like it because, you know, I might have been afraid to enter, not afraid to enter it, but just not knowing how I can do. So I'm glad I'm in it because it is freeing, I think. I agree totally with you, and it changes your writing and everything about you. You're much more freer.
Well, and you have to give yourself permission as an author to be able to write that content. Because if you do not give yourself permission, then it's going to feel forced and your reader is going to feel uncomfortable. So you have to give yourself permission to do that.
Yep.
So out of curiosity, April, how long did it take you to get to a point where you were comfortable writing it?
I was actually comfortable writing it, I guess, about 7 to 9 months after, you know, writing. But even now, I'm much more comfortable discussing aspects of erotica now than I was even a year ago. And it all stems from how I grew up. You know, it was very taboo during my, you know, age group.
Well, I think a lot of people, you know, I really do think a lot of people go through that because I think, you know, girls, I mean, growing up, it's different than guys. It really is, you know. And we don't have the same conversations that guys do. So, you know, that's also something. And like, if you're with your friends, your regular friends, you know, like somebody said to me, why do you want to write erotic? I'm going like, what are you talking? I mean, I don't even know what that, you know, what does that mean? You know what I mean? You know, you can't, you know, because people that aren't authors sometimes really don't get it. You know, what's so interesting and fun about it is freeing, I think, a lot.
It is, and my husband said something to me a couple of years ago, and you know, and it made a lot of sense. He told me, you know, don't worry about what family or other people may think, that, you know, your friends, because they're still going to accept you and accept you for who you are. He was saying, I mean, people watch rated R movies all the time. People watch,
my God, of course,
Tudors, Game of Thrones. I mean, you name it, it's there, and sex is, you know, ingrained in some of this content. So me writing sexual content in my novels is no different than some of the movies that people are seeing in mainstream today.
Yeah. And I think, you know, listening to both of you today, I hope people out there are going to feel a little freer when they write. And I do think so. Because, these are a couple subjects we really haven't discussed too much of. And so I hope you guys will come on again because together you're both good. It's really a good fit because we're hearing what a reviewer thinks and an author thinks. And, you know, Angela, I said this to you before, because being a reviewer and not an author is really, you know, there's not a lot of people. A lot of people are reviewers, but they're also authors. So it's very interesting to hear your take on what you like, because I've tried for years to get people that just are readers. I you know, we've said it, but a lot of readers don't come on shows, you know, and tell people what they like.
Well, and a lot of reviewers, you know, after they read, you know, a certain number of books, they think, oh, well, you know, I've read all these, I can do this. You know, for me personally, I'm quite happy in my little corner where I'm at. I, you know, I'll leave the hard stuff to April and Naughty Nights and all the rest of them. I'm good with that.
No,
you know,
I think it's
am.
Good to hear. You know, it's good to hear because, you know, we really want to hear what you say and what you said. I mean, I think that's going to make a difference to me in the scenes that I write now because, you know, I wasn't really thinking of it in those terms. I'm just thinking of it in doing the sex scene, but it sounds good to me to put conversation in because you wonder, I mean, they're, you know, even when you see it on TV, though, they're not, you're right, though, about one thing. It's a very short scene, and you don't, it's like, you know, that's it. It's 1, 2, 3, and you're not seeing sometimes what they're thinking or what they're saying to each other because a lot of times they don't have time to do that. The scene is really fast. So, I mean,
yeah,
a lot
that
of
is the reason the last time I turned on my TV was probably 3 weeks ago. But I've already read about 50 books.
Yeah. No,
but
I only watch
one to two shows a week, and that's it.
Really? Yes, because I like screenwriting. I write a lot. I watch a lot of TV, and I see a lot of movies because I love that. But now I'm going to incorporate that part because I think that part for me will help me do a sex scene better.
I actually started taking up script writing. I'm in an MFA program for creative writing.
I love it.
And I've actually written maybe about 4 scripts already this year. And I find it really, I like to switch between novels and my script. Sorry, my dog is whining.
Well, I think, you know, the thing about writing script is you become a better writer because you learn how to edit yourself out where, you know, you're not just going on and on because in the script you have just so many minutes to write, you know.
Oh, definitely.
And, Delaney's in the chat room again saying she doesn't watch cable anymore. She watches Netflix. A lot of people are doing that with Netflix.
Oh, I
because
love Netflix.
Netflix has, everybody likes that. So, you know.
I watch Netflix and the Fire Stick.
Yeah, all right. You know, Netflix is, I think it is good. I like it too, you know. All right, and so thank you. I want you both to give your websites or wherever they can reach you again. And I hope you come on again because I really think, you know, learning things about this really will help some authors out there because I think these are concerns, you know, for myself and other people, you know, and I've been writing for years. But it's just the sex scene and what, you know, a reviewer is saying about that is interesting. So, April?
So I hope you come back again.
See, I told you it was going to be different. It's different when we do a show with Naughty Nights because then we're reading. And I just remember we didn't read any of your work. I'm sorry.
Next time we'll
read. Okay. Because I think what you were saying is so interesting. You know, I think both of you will have helped people out there because I think these are concerns, big ones, huge.
Sorry I hijacked your story, April.
I know. I just think it was good. I think it was good to talk about that. And April, you'll both come on again. So we'll, you know, and we'll do this in the fall because I think, you know, and maybe Delaney will join us. Delaney out there, she'll join us, hopefully. And you'll get to hear what she's
saying. Yay, the more the merrier.
Yeah, yeah.
So when we do this in the fall, are you going to give us the results of your fruit and vegetable insert?
Yes,
I am.
I'm going out to the grocery store right now. No, I think that'll help. I think it's a great, what they told you, this is good advice, you know.
I actually use it in my novel writing course that I teach through the public school system for adult continued education, and I've had such wonderful feedback on it.
Yeah, I do think that's a really good idea for people because I think, you know, it is hard, but it's necessary to in these books that you put that in there and have a good, you know, because as the reviewer has said, she wants to be in the scene. So we're going to think of you now in the scene.
Yeah, but I think I'm now going to be seeing cucumbers and bananas everywhere.
All right. So this again was a really good show. Okay. And Angela, do you want to give everybody your website? I mean, your blog.
I thought we were going to let April go first this time.
Okay, April, go ahead. It's your turn. Okay.
Well, my internet has been down the whole time, but you can actually find me on Amazon by searching April A. Luna or Michelle L. De La Garza. And whenever you pull up my name, you'll actually find all of the content under my name or on Facebook.
You have a lot on you.
Well.
You have a lot of info on you. Yes, you do. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Okay, and Angela? And Angela, go ahead.
And for anyone who wants to stalk April, the best way would be Facebook.
Yeah, I'm always
Well, I'm
going to
get sweeter than candy. I'm going to be buying that to see how you did. I was looking over things, and I'm thinking, like, well, should I put that picture on my site for the blog talk? Then I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't put that on because then, you know, it's a different content, you know. But I put everything out, you know, and I think, you know, because it, you have to be, you know, in the pictures you put. But I thought it was a really pretty – I thought it's a cover that gets you, you know, so I think that's a good thing. And so anything else anybody want to say before we close off? Oh, actually, you can find me at MarshaCasperCook.com. I forgot about me there. I'm an author. And next Tuesday's show is the same time range. And we'll be talking about children's books from one to the next, right? You know.
Wow,
it does
that's
help
from one extreme to
genres.
Another.
I do all these genres because then I can keep having shows. You know, it may, you know, and you don't have to stick in the same genre, but, you know, the name-wise and all the things we've talked about, you know, it takes time to get yourself out there and try to feel confident. Because as authors, I think we all have things that we just go, should we write this or should we not write this? And the trick of the thing is to write it. Your husband's right. Let yourself go. I think so. April, I think he let you out. He let you out. That's it. You are out. And that's a good thing. Well, it's good if you don't have to worry about what people are saying. You know, I mean,
Right now on my fan page, I have a giveaway for an ebook up. And if you go to my blog, there is actually a contact form on there that April helped me do, as a matter of fact, for anyone who wants to submit their book to be reviewed.
Okay.
And there's
that's
also
right.
contact
and
information for me on there.
All right, good. And then you'll be seeing these two wonderful ladies on the show again. And with Delaney, we'll do one in September. I'll get her. She says yes. And look up Red River. Because they have a lot of different hosts and a lot of different topics. And we kind of, you know, we're open. And that's a good thing for everybody. So that we love it. You know, I mean, you got to love what you do. So everybody have a good night. It's not even nighttime. I'm usually done at night. But this is like early now. It's still sunny. It's sunny out. What can I say? All right. Thank you so much for being
here. Yeah, see, now I have to figure out something else to do for an hour because I conned my husband into making dinner.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good thing. That's another thing. You want to see some men cooking in these books. Right. That's the thing. I think that's a romantic thing for men to cook. Mine is never cooked.
My husband cooks just about every meal. And,
really?
If I could, I would love to just extend an offer as Angela did. If people go to aprilaluna.weebly.com and sign up with my newsletter, I will actually send you a gift.
Wow. Mm-hmm. This is a good thing.
April, am I signed up?
Huh? And I think it's interesting to hear all these things. And, you know, and I think that people will have liked the show because Delaney's liking it too. Yeah, because, you know, and I'd like to have a man, you know, so I think I'll write one that cooks. That's what you do. That's the thing about writing. You can just make one up. You make one up. You make your perfect guy. Not perfect, but certain things that your own husband might not do, and cooking would be one of them. We'd be going, he'd be going out.
Well, see, and that is why, like I told you, that is the reason I used my romance books to find my perfect man.
All right.
I read one where he cooked.
All right, good night, goodbye. Thank you so much for being on the show. Okay, and Delaney, thanks for listening in. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.